So for today, we're going to talk about the bracha of lachniso bivriso shel Avram Avinu. This is our second shiur on mitzvahs mila, and it ties into the preceding shiur when we were talking about who is chayav on bris mila for a kid after day 8. Does the father's chiyuv extend until the child is perhaps an adult? Does it extend even beyond that? So one of the practical ramifications that the Minchas Chinuch mentioned, if you see the Minchas Chinuch, he writes at the bottom of the page there, on the very bottom, he's talking about the question of who is responsible for the bris mila. And he writes, "Va'od nafkamina." It's one line up from the bottom, from those long lines, towards the end of the line, "Va'od nafkamina." Another ramification as to the question of whether the father is obligated or not. "Im ha'av mevarech brachas lachniso." Is the question of whether the father makes the bracha of lachniso bebriso. Oh, efshar nifka hamitzvah me'olav kishiyagdil, because it's possible that the mitzvah is gone from him actually once the child becomes an adult. This bracha of lachniso bebriso shel Avram Avinu. So there's a lot more we need to know about this bracha. Because, frankly, the whole bracha is strange. Why do we have two brachas at a bris? Right? We have al hamila, and then you have the bracha of lachniso bebriso shel Avram Avinu. You know, what's the provenance of this bracha? What's it doing there? Take a look, please, on the first source, the Gemara in Shabbos. That's where we find this bracha initially. Sorry? Let's see. Could be. That's all right. You know what? Take this one. I think I have a stapled one in. Yeah, and I'm sorry that it's a little dim on the sheet, but my toner was dying. We have since replaced it. There we go. Oh, that's all right. I pulled the staple already. Now I have to bring somebody else in to use the sheet. Okay. Take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos, please. Source number one. Tana Rabbanan Tzabraisa. Hamal Omer, Asher Kedushana B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Al HaMila. We're familiar with that. The person doing the Mila makes that bracha. And Aviyah Ben Omer, Asher Kedushana B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Lachniso B'vriso Shel Avraham Avinu. The father says, this bracha Hashem sanctified us with his mitzvos and instructed us to bring him, the child, into the bris of Avraham Avinu. And then Ha'omdim Omerim Kishem Shenichtas the bris, Kach Yikanis L'Tara L'Chupa L'Ma'asim Tovim. Right, we do slight variation. We say Cain instead of Kach. That's minimal. So we need to know why we have a second bracha. We need to know, and this is going to be the bulk of the discussion, when we have this second bracha. When are you supposed to say the bracha at all? When I was watching to see what happened this morning at the bris, the mo'al says the bracha of al hamila, and then he gestures to Rabbi Weber to say the bracha of niso, and Rabbi Weber said it with a nice nusach, you know, lach niso v'riso. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you hear the father say it and stumble, sometimes you hear the father say it and just rush to get the bracha in. He gave the bracha its proper kavod. But when is it really supposed to be said? Is it before you cut? Is it after you cut? Where does it fit in? Who is actually supposed to recite the bracha? The Gemara here says the father recites the bracha. What if the father can't do it? What if the father's not available? And finally, the Gemara there says, "Kishem shenichtas lebris kach yikanis l'toral chupa l'ma'asim tovim." This response, what in the world is that about? There's only one other bracha I can think of where the community responds. Right? Gomel, right? That's it. And with Gomel, we understand the communal response, because the idea is, I'm supposed to thank Hashem in front of the Tzibur. So the Tzibur takes part saying, oh, Hashem should do this for you in the future. But what in the world is this Kishem Shenichnas Lepris? Well, you know, person gets up and makes a bracha, Bori Priya Eitz. The Tzibur responds, oh, you should be Zocha to have more fruit. or you make a bracha on matzah at the Seder, or, you know, hey, you fill in the blank. What's this about? You had an idea? Yeah, very odd. So let's look at the question of when we recite the bracha, because that should help us respond to some of these other questions. Based on the language in the Gemara itself, in source number one, when is this bracha recited? Can you tell? When in relation to the actual cut?
Are we assuming the Gemara is going in the order of the brachas? So it's yes. Said, so if it's said after, so oh, I see. Can you tell? I mean, the Mel said it's going to do the Mela before he does the Mela.
Right.
So and then it mentions that the father says it, but it doesn't say whether the father says it after the Mela is done.
Correct.
Or before the Mela is done, you can't tell from this going.
Right. So it's very hard to tell based on the order. What's that?
Leach Nisa.
Leach Nisa, which should mean
future.
Future. Right? It's a Gemara in Pesachim. We'll see it in source number 3. We're not quite there yet. But the Gemara there is going to distinguish between brachos that are al and brachos that are le. And indeed, it's going to indicate that brachos that are le tend to be right before you do the mitzvah. Which is kind of funny, because the bracha of the moel is al hamila. Right. You know, he doesn't say lamol. So we have to tackle that also while we're at it. The truth is that from the language of the Gemara, it's a little bit vague. Some do suggest that the moel's bracha must be right before the bris, because the moel is supposed to make his bracha and then make the cut, right? So therefore, lachnisa should be after the bris. That's one possible indication from the language of the Gemara. In fact, the early history of the minog through the period of the Gaonim is to do it after the bris. Meaning, you do the bris, you cut, and then afterwards the father says this bracha. Rabbeinu Sar Shalom Gaon, writing in the 9th century, says that you can't do it beforehand, because you're depending on the moel. Unless you yourself are the moel, which some discuss, the Taz, for example, talks about doing the bris for his son. But in general, the assumption is the father is not the moel, so you can't make a bracha that's contingent upon the moel doing it, because what if the moel walks off? What if he drops the knife? What if a million things happen? Now suddenly you've made a bracha levatala. So therefore, you make your lahachniso after the bris. That was the minhag, bless you.
Is hachnasa libris identical to mila?
Ah,
the act.
Good, we'll come back to that. Excellent question. The Rashbam comes along and changes everything. He says, no, it's got to be before the bris. This is a bracha, a birkas hamitzvah on the bris. Birkas hamitzvah are, bless you, over la'asiya son. You're supposed to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So quit doing it afterward. It's got to be before. Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, what do you think you're doing? You can't change our minhagim. Absolutely not. And Rabbeinu Tam says, go back to doing it the way you were doing it before my brother-in-law, the Rashbam, came along. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It shouldn't be done that way. Take a look, please, at source number 2, where we get part of the machlokes, and we get some insight into where this came from. Tosfos on that Gemara in Shabbos. Avia ben Omer, right? That's the Ramasko. Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rashbam. Garis Aviha ben Beresha, Vahadar Hamol Omer. Okay? He says, Rashbam actually had a different edition in the Gemara. His edition said, the father makes the bracha of Lachniso, and then the moel does his bracha. So to begin with, he has a whole different order of things. That'll lead him to say do things differently. Ugvar hinhig lasos kein, and that was what he told people to do. Levarech avia ben kodem hamila, for the father to make the bracha before the mila, mishum to lachniso, lava mashma, arguing that the word lachniso, as Zev pointed out, sounds like the future. Kedarminim parakama de psachim, like it says in the first parak of psachim, davzayin, as we'll see. The bilavair, this is a quote from that Gemara there, bilavair kuleyama lo pligi. Dilahaba mashma, that regarding levair chametz, right, versus al biur chametz, everybody would agree that levair would mean the future, because it's the lamed introducing the verb. You instruct us to do this thing that we're about to do.
And there should be some sort of a problem if lachnisa also means to be moel the child, then you have two brachas that seemingly mean
the same exact thing, right. That's
and,
part of our
and
problem.
Number one, number two, and going back to what you said, if lachnisa means, first of all, I, to be honest with you, I don't know, is there such a mitzvah as lachnisa research of Avraham? Does it say that in the Torah?
Well, yes and no. If I understand mila, if I understand mila as bringing him into Avraham's bris, then there is.
I'm not familiar. I don't remember what the text is, but is it to be himal yimal?
Right. The word lachnis does not appear in the Torah.
Right. Exactly. So I don't even know what the source of the bracha would be.
Right.
I can understand what Ashek Dishom Mitzvayisav Vitzivon Al Hamila.
Right.
That I can understand, but where is the source of the second?
Right.
Bracha?
So we have to still figure this out. We don't know yet. But the second reason for Rashbam's position, his first reason is his edition of the Gemara, and his second reason is Lachniso sounds like the future. Ve'od, and further, the classic line, Dechol ha-mitzvos mevarech alein over la'asiyasa, and brachos on a mitzvah are supposed to be before the mitzvah. However, that's the end of Rosh Bam. Rabbeinu Tam hechzir minog lekadmusa. Rabbeinu Tam brought the minog back to what it used to be. Vegaras hamol bereisha. His edition of the Gemara was that the moel's bracha is there. That's what I mentioned first. Vahadar, and then it says avia ben, the father of the kid. Kamosha kasa b'chalasparim, which is what we have in all our manuscripts. V'chei muchach kol ha-sugya, and the whole sugya there sounds like that. Midika amar, because it says, ha-om dim sham omrim, g'shem sheikh niso labris. Right? Michlal shekvarich niso. So it sounds like he already did it. Now, parenthetically, that's not quite the wording in the Gemara. Does it say, g'shem sheikh niso labris?
Shenichnas
labris. So we have to come back to it. Yes, we'll come back to it. However, for our purposes, it doesn't matter, because they're both past tense. Whether you say nichnas or hichniso, it's past tense. So this supports Rabbeinu Tam's position that you're making the bracha after the milah. And people are saying, just as you brought him into the bris, so you should bring him to Tarachu B'masim Tov. V'ahid psachim, and as far as that Gemara psachim, because what do you do with the trump line of leva'er means future, and lahachnis should be future? What do you do with that? Hachi perushal, this is the way to explain it. When the Gemara says that everybody agrees that Livaer means the future, that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean what it sounds like. What it means is everybody agrees that Livaer is more likely to be future than it is to be past. But it could be past. Just more likely to be future. But it could be the past too. Why in the world would I give this strange reading of the Gemara? Because kiplegi ba'al bi'ur. Because the Gemara's real debate was not about leva'er. It was about the phrase al bi'ur chametz, wanting to know whether that's past or future. Mar sabad demashra meikaret femi la'aba. One view there was that al bi'ur sounds more like the past than the future. Umar sabad la'aba nami mashma. The other one said, no, it could also mean future, kimo meikara, just as it means past. So in other words, just like his view regarding al-bi'ur is, it could go either way, so too the view regarding leva'er is that it could go either way. It could be past, it could be future. But there's no definitive way to read it. And as far as his point about over la'asiyasan, v'adamrin and d'chol ha-mitzvos mevarech over la'asiyasan, as far as that issue, ha-nimili k'sham mevarech atzmo osa ha-mitzvah. That's only when the mevarech is the one who is actually doing the mitzvah. But otherwise, as we said, we're concerned. I'm making a bracha about what you're going to do. That's one of the explanations brought for why we don't make a bracha on tzedakah. Right? There are various explanations, but one of them is because it's dependent on the ani receiving it. If the ani doesn't want it, I didn't do tzedakah. So what we have so far then is a Tosfos recording pieces of this debate. Interestingly, the Beis Yosef says that Rabbeinu Tam agreed with Rav Sar Shalom Gaon. Rav Sar Shalom said, you can't do the bracha afterwards. Absolutely cannot. Because of the concern that the Moel may not do it. So he says, you can't say the bracha before, and you must say the bracha afterwards. That's what Rabbeinu Sar Shalom Gaon and Beis Yosef says. That's what Rabbeinu Tam's position was. The Taz disagreed. The Taz felt that Rabbeinu Tam never says explicitly that you can't do it before. What he did was disagree with Rashbam, who changed the minhag. Everyone was doing it after. Rashbam said do it before, and Rabbeinu Tam said stop that. But people can, theoretically. He's not adamantly opposed the way that Rav Sar Shalom Gaon is opposed. He just doesn't think that it makes sense. Now, there's another minhag that develops, which we'll get to. The Rush mentions it, which is to divide Mila into two parts. Because there are two parts to the Mila, right? There's Mila and there's Priya. You do the cut, and then afterwards you pull back the skin. So a minhag develops of saying the bracha of lachniso after the cut, before the priya. And that's a compromise attempt to satisfy everybody, as we'll see. Or we think that's what it is, but we'll come back to that. So that's the history of the back and forth minhagim. But here are the factors involved, some of which we already saw here in Tosfos. There, we're going to see a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 factors. I'm going to mention them right now as a set, but we're going to go through them one by one. The first factor we'll consider is the addition in the Gemara itself, Rashbam versus Rabbeinu Tam, what the addition is. The second factor will be the over la'asiyasan debate. Do brachos have to precede the mitzvah? The third will be the language of the bracha of lahachniso. The fourth factor is maybe the mo'el won't finish the job. And then the fifth will be people's response, k'shem shenichnas, all of which we've touched on upon already, but I want to see them inside, in terms of where they come from and how we resolve them, and a couple of additional factors on them. So first, the issue of the girsa, the language itself. The language of our Gemara, as we have it, and Rabbeinu Tam had it, is the Mal says, Asher kidushanu b'mitzvasav etzivanu ala milah, and Aviyah ben Omer, Asher kidushanu b'mitzvasav etzivanu ala achniso. Granted, as we just saw, Rashbam has a different edition. Maharam al-Ashgar deals with this issue. He is approached by somebody who wants to know what the Rambam's minhag is. Because where he lives, everybody follows the Rambam. And so he's asked, what's the view of the Rambam? So he says, you know what the Rambam does. Look at what we do at Ibris. We always follow the Rambam. What I want to do is defend the position of the Rambam against those who would say otherwise, who would disagree with him. Because the position of the Rambam, as he understands it, is against the language of the Braisa. He says this. He says the language of the Braisa may be absolutely meaningless. The Rambam's position, though, as he understands it, is to do it before the Mila, like Rashbam. So he says the Gemara itself, which makes it sound like it's second and afterwards, is not material, even without an alternate edition. Why? He says maybe the reason why the Gemara puts the bracha of Al Hamila first is simply because that's the easiest way to state things. That's the essential mitzvah. Imagine if the Braisa begins, Aviyah ben Omer, Asher Kisham Zasav Tzivan Lachniso Bebriso Shal Avraham Avinu. Right? That's your opening line. Make a bracha of lachniso bevriso. I don't know what you're talking about in your braisa if you open that way. Open up with, there's a mo'al. And the mo'al makes a bracha of al hamila. Otherwise the braisa would have had to go through a long discussion. When there's a bris, this one says, this bracha, da da da. He says the braisa trusts you to remember you always make brachos on mitzvos before you do the mitzvah. And therefore the braisa wasn't trying to teach me the order at all. Don't read in too much into the braisa. That's Maharam al-Ashgar. He says, don't get caught up in the order of things that are presented there. That's not a proof. So we have one view, which is, look at the braisa. It's after al-Hamila. Al-Hamila must be right before the bris. Therefore, your lachnisa was after. And you have another view, which says, number one, Rashbam is a different girsa. And number two, even according to our girsa, the braisa may not be dealing with the order of brachos. That may not be what the braisa is interested in. The braisa is just telling me about brachos like I wanted a bris. Second, though, is the issue of over la'asiyah son. Take a look, please, at source number 3. This is that Gemara in Pesachim, probably the most famous example of the Gemara's discussions about making a bracha before a mitzvah. Everybody agrees that you have to make the bracha before. Minolon. How do we know that? Damar of Yehuda, Damar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda says, citing Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvos mevarech aleihen over la'asiyasan. For all mitzvos, you make the bracha over la'asiyasan. Well, the Gemara doesn't quite know what Shmuel meant by that. What does the phrase over la'asiyasan actually mean? Trespassing on their performance? What does the phrase over la'asiyasan mean? That's a very confusing phrase. So the Gemara asks, my mashma dahai over lishna de'akdumehu. Where did you get this idea that the word over la'asiyasan means before doing the mitzvah? Asiyasan we know, it's performance of the mitzvah. But what does over mean? So they bring you various psukim to show you the word over can mean to go in front of, to go before something. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak quotes you the pasuk in Shmuel, Vayaratz Achimoatz Derech Hakikar Vayaveres Hakushi, Vavores Hakushi, that he passed before him. Abai gives you the pasuk V'uavar Lifneihem by Yaakov's gift for Esav. He gives you another pasuk V'avor Malkam Lifneihem Vashem Berosham, their king passed before them. But he says, that's the rule. Bracha first, mitzvah second. Except sometimes when it's not true. Bei Rav Amri, on the fourth line in that in source number 3, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, Chutz mina tevila v'shofar, except for tevila and blowing shofar. I like that one. Anybody ever do the bracha on shofar after blowing shofar? It's kind of a funny one. Immersion, we understand. Bishlema tevila dekati gavra lochazi. He says, for tevila I understand, because the person who is immersing is supposed to make the bracha. And he's Tamei. We don't want him making the bracha. So he's not fit. And they talk about tefillah b'ger, and tefillah b'ger. But also in general, when someone's, there's a whole discussion about making the bracha when you're Tamei. Let him do it after.
B'ger is much worse.
Yeah. He has no mitzvah.
Yeah, but they talk about it also for anita, the practice of women going and dunking once and then making the bracha. It's also true for Tumah. You're right, though. There is the gerus discussion. the Ella shofar my time up. But what in the world are you going to do with shofar? Why would I make a bracha after shofar? If your concern is, well, gee, maybe he'll mess up when he's blowing shofar, then so that should be true for every time you make you do any mitzvah with any degree of complexity. You do a shechita, I'll make the bracha afterwards, just in case. You do a milah, let's make the bracha afterwards. So Chizda said, you're right, knock out shofar from the list. Shofar's a mistake. It's just tevila. Tanya nami hachi, and we have in fact a brisa. Tabal va'ala baliyah. So Omer Baruch Hashem Sabbat Sivanu al ha tevila. Okay, so that's our source for making the bracha before you do the mitzvah, and that's Rashbam's argument. However, is it really true that you always make your bracha before the mitzvah? Rabbeinu Tam already told us in source number 2 that it's not necessarily so. Right? If you are the one doing the mitzvah, then you make the bracha beforehand. But otherwise, not necessarily so. The Lecha Mishnah makes the same point in Hilchos Yishus. In the end of the third paragraph in Hilchos Yishus, they have a discussion also about brachos on mitzvos, the bracha on kiddushin. And the Lecha Mishnah there says that if the bracha, if our bracha in the Mila case, if Lach Niso, is not over La'asi Asan, why wasn't it listed in the Gemara's exceptions? Right, you gave me other exceptions, tried to give me other exceptions, we only ended up with one, with Tevila, but why didn't it mention Lachniso? And his answer is, because it's an entirely different thing. The person making the bracha is not the one performing the mitzvah. And therefore, it's a given that that's excluded from this category. The Gemara knew that. The Gemara knew we exclude cases in which the Mavarich is not the one doing the mitzvah. So that's good, and that fits what Tosfos said, but there's also another argument involved. It may not be a birchas hamitzvah at all. And this goes back to the question of why in the world we're making this bracha. What is the place of this bracha? What's its origin? Why are we doing it at all? You see, we have a birchas hamitzvah, right? Asher kisham zazav zivano al hamila. That did the job just fine. We didn't need a second one. So Rabbeinu Tam wrote a sefer called Sefer Hayashar. There are numerous Sfarim Hayasharim, I suppose I should say. There are numerous Sfarim called Sefer Hayashar, but Rabbeinu Tam wrote Sefer Hayashar, in which, among other things, he has some chidushim, and he writes that the purpose of this bracha is not because hamitzvah at all, it's to testify.
The second one.
I'm sorry?
Lachniso.
Yeah, what did I say? Okay. The second one, right? Is that it's to testify that the Mila took place. Why? Because you remember in the Torah it says Hine Dam Habris, right? Behold, here is the blood of the bris that Hashem has made with you, right? So Hine Dam Habris, that declaration is the source for making such a declaration now. We declare that we did it, and further, we declare that we did it for Hashem. We did it for the purpose of Hashem and nobody else. We didn't do it for some Avodah Zarah. We didn't do it for any, you know, with any other ideas in mind. There's a similar notion in Tosfos and Psachim. Take a look at source number 4. On this Bill of Ayer Kuleyama Lo Pligi De La Abba Mashma. Okay? First, you get the business about the Rashbam. They mention here Rashba, but that's probably a typo. It should probably be Rashbam. And you have Rabbeinu Tam's response, and jumping down in the Tosfos to the point that's relevant for us, he makes a remarkable statement. In the third line, the middle of the line, you see the Afagav? Afagav de lahachniso mashma lahaba, even though lahachniso sounds like in the future. Lo kasha, that's no problem. De lo al zos hanase achshav mivarech. He's not making the bracha about what you did right now at the bris. Ela mishabeach umoda lakadosh baruch hu shetzivanu al hamila kishetavo liyado. You're thanking Hashem. Thank you for giving us a mitzvah of bris mila. Whenever I'll end up fulfilling it. So why do you do it at a bris? Maybe we should just have someone stand up in shul once a year and make a bracha of thank you Hashem for the mitzvah of bris mila. V'diknua kan, they enacted to be done here, legalos ulahodia, to reveal and inform the public, shezo hamila nasa l'shem yotzreinu, that this mila was done for our Creator's sake, v'lo l'shem avodas gilulim, not for idolatry, l'lo l'shem morana, not for the sake of someone we're afraid of or whatever, l'lo l'shem hargrizim, like the Samaritans. We are doing this bris mila solely because it's the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because mila is such a loaded mitzvah. right? Because you have these other societies that have circumcision things and all that. We don't want to get confused with anybody else. We say this is something that we do as a mitzvah. You know what it reminds me of? Come to think of it. It reminds me of Aleinu by Kiddush Levana. Right? You know why we say Aleinu at the end of Kiddush Levana? And for that matter, we do it at a bris, and I believe it's brought down that it's for the same reason.
You think that it's you worshiping the...
Right. That people don't think that this is some kind of avodah zarah practice. Because who knows what people think when they see people standing outside and they look up at the moon and then they say a bracha. So people are supposed to turn away from the moon, and that's one, you know, one element to it. Although, it's bizarre.
Everyone faces west.
I've seen so many people do weird things with this. But anyway, but the idea of saying Aleinu at the end is to let people know that's not what this is. This isn't moon worship. And with the bris, we're doing it to show we serve Hashem. So too with this bracha. And therefore he says, Vein tzarach levarech over la'asiyaso, alav makom shoseh. Mitzvah mevarech, he goes back to his other arguments. So that's Tosfos' line, is that we're doing it to declare... We're saying it to declare we did this mitzvah for the sake of Hashem. Interestingly...
It's not a birkas mitzvah, though. Then even if I'm doing it myself, why would I not do it afterwards? Only because, wouldn't it be a hesek if I make a birkas mitzvah? And then before I do the mitzvah, I say a nice...
Yeah.
It would be a hesek.
Yes, and we would not distinguish. We would say, always do it after, according to
us. But isn't he saying, Elo makshot ha-mitzvah?
I think what he's doing here is he's going back to the initial objection of Rashbam about Over La'asiyah Son, and he's saying in general there's no chiyuv Over La'asiyah Son unless the osim is Mitzvah, so there's an additional argument for you, especially because we're about to reject his Berach HaShavach Ha'odah idea. Yeah, hang on one more minute and then we'll get back to our objection. And once you hear the objection, you'll agree. But first, the Mishnah Halachos, Rabbi Asher Klein, someone wrote him a question regarding the bracha of Lachniso and pointed out that there's another edition of Rabbeinu Tam. In the old sefer called the Sefer HaManig, which is a Rishonish sefer, in Hilchos Mila, they quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying something else. It's Shevach, but it's Shevach for Hashem helping us to bring this child into the mitzvos that Mila enables. If you don't have a milah, you can't eat truma. If you don't have a milah, you can't eat the carbon pesach. Lach niso b'vriso shel Avraham Avinu. We're bringing him into the bris of Avraham, all these other mitzvahs that he'll be able to do now that he's a member of the bris. That's lach niso. And that's also another dimension of why we would have this separate bracha. We're pointing out, now this kid is eligible. There's only one problem with all these nice Shevach explanations. What's the problem? Look back at source number one, please. It should give it to you. Yeah. Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa. Right? There ain't no other way to read that. Maram Alashker says, this is a berkas ha-mitzvah. I don't know what else. I don't know how much more of a berkas ha-mitzvah you can get than saying, Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu. That's the definition of a berkas ha-mitzvah. Otherwise, every berkas ha-mitzvah is a berkas ha-shevach. Right? It doesn't work. It's a great idea, but he's right. Hands down, he's right. So we've dealt with two factors. One is the language of the brisa. Is this a proof or not? And number two is the issue of over lasiyasan. Third is the issue of the language of the bracha itself, and specifically the letter lamed. Take a look, please, at source number five. This is that Gemara in Psachim about lameds and owls and liz. Amar of Yehuda, Yehuda says, Habodek tzarech sheyavarech. He says, the one who does bidikas chametz is the one who makes the bracha. My mevarech, what bracha? Rav Papi Amar Mishmei the Rava. Rav Papi cites Rava as saying, Livaer Chametz. That's your bracha. Not Al Bior, which we do, but Livaer Chametz. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei the Rava. Rav Papa disagrees about what Rava said. He said, no, Rava says Al Bior Chametz. And the Gemara says, we've already quoted it, Bilivaer Kulam Alo Pligi Divadi La Abamashma. There's no disagreement, Livaer means the future. Kipligi ba'al bi'ur. The debate is, what about al bi'ur? Mar savar me'ikara mashma, mar savar la'abba mashma. One says it's the past, one says that it's the future. Again, as we already said, Rashbam says that means that le'ach niso sounds like the future, so you should make the bracha first. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says, no, it just means it's more likely to be the future. Which Maram Alashkar laughs at, and he says, okay, fine, but it's still more of a future language. Telling me that it could be past doesn't change the fact that it's predominantly future in its message. The fourth point was the one that we said, that maybe the mall won't finish the job. Rabbeinu Sar Shalom Gaon's position cited in the Taz as well, and for that matter, the Machzor Vitri, written by students of Rashi, records that also as a concern. So that's a reason to say the bracha afterwards. And then finally, you have people's response. When people say, Kishem Shenichnas, right, suggesting that the bris has already, in fact, happened. That Rabbeinu Tam mentions that. However, Maram Alashkas is not necessarily, and Zev made this point before. Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz said that the Lachniso Bibriso is actually when you give him to the Sandeik. It's not the Mila. It's not the actual act of bris Mila. Lachniso Bibriso, you're bringing him into the bris by handing him over to the Sandeik. He's now out of your hands. He's given to the Sandeik and to the Maal. Especially because the Sandeik, as we'll see, is often viewed as a Shaliach the Beis Din. We're going to come back to that, God willing, in a little bit. But that's the idea that this is not the people's response may not actually be relevant. Maybe the people's response is to say, see, you have made him eligible. That's it. Okay, so we have our five different elements. Then we get to the compromise of the Rosh. The Rosh says, do it before the Priya. Take a look at source number 6. Ve'od shamati, I also heard, k'sha'aviyah ben mevarech miyad achar birkas hamoel, mikri shaper over la'asiyaso. I've heard that if the father makes the bracha right after the moel's bracha, that's called over la'asiyaso. Ve'gam la'ba, it's called future. Lafisha dayan lo parak, because the priya is not yet done. Even though the moel is now doing the cut, the priya is not done. So what? Utnan, we learned in a Mishnah, mol v'lo parak, ki lo mol. If you do mila without priya, you didn't do bris mila. So therefore it's over l'asiyaso, since the priya has not yet been done. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says to do that. That's the Shulchan Aruch's recommendation. So that, at the bris, when the moel turns to the father and says, say the bracha, he's trying to get him to satisfy this view by saying the bracha before the priya. The Taz said, don't do this if the father is the moel, because you don't want to pause in between the cut and the priya. Because if he stops what he's doing in order to make a bracha, then we're afraid that the cut is going to fill up with blood. It's going to make it hard for him to do the priya properly. It's tsar for the kid. So he says, I don't advise this if the father is actually the moel. And as I said before, the Taz actually did the bris for his son. And he says, I didn't do this precisely because of that. The Chasam Sofer, though, questioned the validity of this compromise. He said, I'm not so sure this actually works. And he discussed it in three different places. Once on the Gemara in Shabbos, once on the Gemara in Pesachim, and another time in a Tshuva. His problem is right here in source number 7. Ayin Rush, he says, see the Rush, Shevarach ben Mila lepriya, who over lasiyasan, right, like we just saw, you should make the bracha between the Mila and the Priya, and that's called over lasiyasan. Vitzarach Ion, this requires examination. Halo nitna priyas Mila la Avraham Avinu alav Hashalom. Avram didn't have the mitzvah of Priya. We're taught that that's after. Avram only has the mitzvah of cutting. There's a whole discussion. We may get into it, we might not. I'm not sure. I always wonder when I'm doing the Menachas Chinuch Shir how theoretical you want to get. Because we could go into this whole discussion about what the mitzvah of Mila is for B'nai Keturah. Do they have a mitzvah of just Mila or Mila and Priya? So until you run into people with the word Keturah stamped on their back, I'm not sure this is really going to be such a discussion. But it's an interesting debate. But he says, Avram doesn't have Priya. Ve'ich yomar ala Priya lachniso bebriso shel Avraham Avinu. Right? If your whole bracha is lachniso bebriso shel Avraham Avinu, it can't be referring to Priya. Avram doesn't have Priya. And then he says, V'yesh latareis bedochak. You could strain to answer this. That's how he leaves it there. In his tshuva on this, he elaborates further. And he says, had the bracha been al hachnasas bris, had you taken out Avraham, I would be just fine. Like the discussion regarding al netilas yadayim. Right, well, we also say you do it after because you don't have a choice. So you do it before you dry your hands because drying is an essential part of the mitzvah. But that's not, he says that's fine. But here, they created a bracha and they put in Avraham's name. What moved the Chacham to include Avraham's name if they wanted it to be done before Priya? It doesn't make any sense. But the Chasam Sofer does offer two thoughts. One in this tshuva and the other one in his comments to Pesachim. In his tshuva, he suggests maybe Abraham's mitzvah of bris mila is to remove everything that will be considered an impediment to being called nimol. Avraham's mitzvah is remove whatever you need to remove such that the person will be called circumcised. So in Avraham's time, that just means the basic skin. In later times, that comes to mean priya also. But he himself says that's a little odd. That's difficult. Because again, why do we throw in Avraham's name? But in his comments to Pesachim, he suggests an entirely different approach to the compromise. He says maybe it's not a compromise at all. Okay? He says maybe the reason for doing it before the Priya is not to satisfy these different points of view, but it's to do it, yes, after, because I don't have a choice. I have to do it right after the Mila, and I'll do it as soon as I can after the cut. So that happens to be before the Priya. But even if there was no idea of doing a compromise or whatever, it would simply be, you're doing it right after the cut. The Mo'al says his bracha, he cuts, you couldn't say it before because you're not the one doing the mitzvah, so immediately afterwards you make your bracha. Maybe that's the goal. It has nothing to do with satisfying all views and trying to be over Lasi Hassan. It's simply when it makes sense to make the bracha. That's the Chasam Sofer's solution. The Vilna Gaon offers another answer. The Vilna Gaon, explained in the Tzitz Eliezer, has an entirely different view of why in the world you would do it before Priya. The Vilna Gaon's comment, as it often is when he writes on Shulchan Aruch, is cryptic. All he does is he mentions this practice of doing it before the Priya, and then he says, by the way, see Tosfos and Psachim Dibur Maschil Al. And that's it. That's all the Vilna Gaon has to say. Let's take a look at source number 8. This is the Tosfos. He says, V'chein b'netilas yadayim, so too b'netilas yadayim, lo chilku b'netila shal achar beis hakisei, v'lo matzilim b'varech kodem. Miu b'netila yesh tam achar l'varech achar netila kodem niguv, k'di amrinan ha'ochal lechem b'lo niguv yadayim, k'ilu lochal ochal lechem tam. He says, regarding washing, they didn't distinguish between the washing that one does after using the restroom, where you couldn't make the bracha before, and the washing one does, just because he's going to go, whatever, he's going to go have bread. They always made the netila, the bracha after the netila. But he says there's another reason why to do it after. This is Tosfos. There's another reason why to make the bracha netilas yadayim after you wash before you dry, because drying is part of it, is an inherent part of the mitzvah. Because if you touch the bread when your hands are wet, then it's like eating lechem tameh. It's like eating tameh bread. You're not allowed to touch the bread while your hands are wet. You have to dry them fully. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. You should note in his discussion about mila. What does it have to do with anything? So the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg explains that the Gram means to make the same statement here.
Priya, what's the model? You're saying this is closing time as described here is the model for Ms. Mila.
Right. But specifically, the fact that drying is right. Needed for an external reason, right. And yet it's considered part of the essential mitzvah. That's his idea.
Right.
The fact that I need to dry my hands before I touch the bread is because otherwise my washing was a waste of time.
But they're saying Mavala Para is the same thing. I mean, it's the same exact wording, the same exact kavlosh. If you did Mila without Priya, again, you did nothing. If you did washing without drying, you did nothing.
Exactly. And therefore, even the Mila was no good. And therefore, it's Lachniso Bebriso Shel Avraham Avinu, because your Mila was nothing until you did the Priya. Exactly right. Your Mila is in a state of flux until you do the Priya. At that point, the Mila becomes valid, and therefore making the Bracha then is over Lasi Yasan. It's not a compromise. This is the way to do it. That's the way that the Vilna Gaon would look at it.
What's the Tosfos adding that you don't see in the Rush already?
Because the way the Rush framed it, because the Rush mentions Mavalo Para Kilu Lo Mal, I think it's just a clarification of
how we were understanding the Rush before.
Right. So the way I understood the Rush until the Gra was more that he was saying Priya is another step in Bris Mila.
So it's not that it shares the whole thing.
Right.
To begin with.
Okay. Right. I did a step. I just didn't do everything yet. Now what it looks like is no, I didn't do anything until the Priya has happened. Right. Okay. So what we've seen then, in going back to our initial questions, we still have more to say, but going back to our initial questions about this bracha of lachnisa v'briso shel Avraham Avinu, we now understand a little bit more about why we have a second bracha, right? The view is that it's a shevach v'hoda of some kind, or it's a statement about bringing the kid in, not necessarily birkas hamitzvah. Granted, we still have to deal with the problem that the language is sure birkas hamitzvah language. We know more about when we recite it. We try to do it, the Rush's compromise is ideal, to do it before the Priya, but we certainly don't want to do it before, despite Rashbam, because if you do it before, then there's the risk that the Mo'al doesn't do the mitzvah right. in terms of who recites it, that's what we're going to get to right now. And we still have to get to the Tzibur's response. So we said clearly in the Gemara, the father says the bracha. What if the father can't do it? So the Vilna Gaon, quoted in the Aruch HaShulchan, says that the grandfather does it if the father is unable to do it. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, qualifies that. He says that's only if the father is not alive. Because the idea of having the grandfather do it is because there is a mitzvah of teach your children Torah, and God forbid, in the event that one's son can't do it, the son is no longer alive, then the grandfather steps in to teach the grandchildren. But it's specifically if the father isn't in the picture. So that's where he would also step in to do this. Similarly, I remember learning that there's a discussion about what happens, who has the right to be the sandik, in the event that the father is not going to be the sandik, so then you deal with the grandfather. Now, in any case, very often the father doesn't do it. But the father's father is the one who has first right, because he has this backup mitzvah of chinuch, in the event that the father isn't going to be the one to do it. So let's say the father is simply absent. Who do you go to? So the Rush, take a look at the Rush in source number 9, brings an interesting discussion of this. The Rush is on that Gemara in Kiddushin where we talk about the father having the mitzvah of bris for his son, at the end of the first parak. He says, "V'hecha de lo male avua, mechaivi beidina lemim halei," where the father doesn't do it, the Beis Din is obligated to do the bris. Tichsiv himo lachem kol zachar. It's the plural. So make sure for you that all males have a bris. Ve'ein levarach lachniso bebriso. And you don't make the bracha of lachniso. If you're not the father, no bracha. Ve'chein kasav harava barceloni b'shem harav haigon. Beis Din shemalin makom she'ein ha'av. Hakol mevarachin lachniso. Va'arav kasav she'ein mevarachin. He quotes first the view that everybody makes the bracha of lachniso, and then he says, "But that's nonsense. You don't do it." Rav Haigon rejects that possibility. The Rambam, take a look on the flip side, please.
I'm sorry. The reason he rejects it is because
he doesn't say. It
was too the concept of everybody making a bracha or.
No, he just doesn't say. He just says, "I don't like it." We'll see an idea in a minute, but we don't know yet. We don't know what might be the objection. I don't know anyway. But take a look at the Rambam in source number 10. The Rambam says, "Hamal mevarach kodem shiimol asher yisham tzav etzvanam al amila imol ben chavero." Right, that's what he says. "Imol es beno," if it's his own kid, "mevarach vitzivanu lamol es haben." This goes back to a point that I never came back to, so I'll mention it now. That the reason why we do al hamila instead of limol es haben is because the moel tends not to be the father. So since he's doing somebody else's mitzvah, it's al hamila. Because the moel doesn't have a tzivui. The tzivui is the father. That's why. But if it's his own kid, so fine, limol es haben. I don't actually know if we do that, if we change the bracha when one does the bris for his own kid. I don't know if we follow this Rambam lemaisa. I've never seen the case in which the father... Actually, that's not true. I had one case. But I don't remember what bracha he made. I had a surgeon when I was in Allentown who he had the moel set everything up and then he actually did the cut. But I don't remember what bracha he made. V'avia ben mevarach bracha acheres, and the father of the kid makes another bracha. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher kitchanu v'tzav tzivanu achniso b'brisa shlavim avinu. Mitzvah la'av lamol es beno yeser al mitzvah shemitzuvin yisrael shimolu kol arel shebeinayen. He says now, the father has a greater obligation than anybody else does, right? His obligation is greater than the generic mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has of make sure Mila happens. Lefichach, therefore, im ein sham aviv, ein mevarchen acharei brachazu. If his father is not there, then no one makes the bracha. This bracha is uniquely meant for the one who has the ikar obligation, the main obligation. He also mentions, yeah, there are some people who have this idea of somebody else making the bracha. I don't think so. The Ravid says, in the next line there, the Kasav HaRavid Zal, Mistabra Kmandamar Bezdin O Miyuchad Shaba'am Mivarech V'na Gwetzlein Usha Sandikus Mivarech. He has the Sandik make the bracha. He says, that's our Minhug. And even though it's not his, Chiyuv. This seems to be what the Menchas Chinuch had in mind, right, that I pointed out in the beginning. When I said that the Menchas Chinuch asks the question of, if the father is not obligated, who makes the bracha of lachniso? That's exactly his question. This question here. What if the father doesn't know how to say the bracha? So the Avudram says, somebody else says the bracha, and he says amen. The Aruch HaShulchan says, why? Just have the father repeat after somebody. What's the big deal? We do this all the time. I'm not sure why the Avudram is
it
not...
Won't be between Mila and Priya, though.
Yeah, it may take a while. That's a good point. I guess it depends on your shita on when you make the bracha. Last, the issue of the communal response. Kishem Shenichnas, as we tend to say it. So, the Gemara's edition we already saw, Kishem Shenichnas. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch's language in source number 11. V'im acherim omdim sham, if others are present for the bris, omrim they say, Kishem Shenichnasto lebris, kein tach nisehu letaro lechupo lemasim tovim. Tach nisehu. That's a funny language. So the Taz says, yeah, that's weird. He says the Shulchan Aruch's language is also found in the Torah and in the Rambam, but none of them match the Gemara. So he says, based on the Beis Yosef, quoting Rabbeinu Manoach, this line of Kishem Shenichnas is a bracha that the Tzibur is giving, that he should merit the other mitzvos that he's supposed to do for his kids. So in other words, we're giving the bracha to the father. Right? It's not a bracha to the kid. It's a bracha to the father. So in that case, the language should be the language of Sheikh Nasto, like the Shulchan Aruch has. Right? We're giving the bracha of Sheikh Nasto means just as you brought him into the bris. As opposed to Kishem Shenichnas was just as he entered the bris. So the Taz says, well, you know, maybe those who can see the father should address it to him. Sheikh Nasto. Right? Just as you brought him into the bris. Those who can't see the father from where they're standing should say, Kishem Shenichnas, about the kid in the third person, just as he entered the bris, so too he should go to Tovim Chupamazim Tovim. All of them should be standing, by the way. They stress that they're supposed to be standing. There's a linkage to Sefiras HaOmer, and so we do that. The Aruch HaShulchan says that we always do the version of Shenichnas about the child, because sometimes there's a bris where the father isn't present. So rather than have one nusach for the father isn't present, one nusach for the father is present, he says, just do the easy way. Do the child's version. That's his thing.
So wait a minute, if the father's not present, you don't make that second bracha. And we were saying before, the father's not present, you may not make that second bracha.
According to that view, right.
So what is his response to that? I
mean, right, so his answer would be, I don't follow that. He'll follow the Ravid.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's what he would end up saying. That's funny. It's a good point. Right. Especially because the Aruch HaShulchan, when he said that, was quoting the Shach. So then that gives us the Shach's ruling as well, to follow the Ravid. In terms of the order of Torah, Chuppah, Masim, Tovim, so the order is a little bit of a funny order. We hope that a kid is engaged in Masim Tovim before he gets the chuppah, right? Otherwise, he's never going to find a shidduch. The classic explanation by the Beis Yosef and others is that it's because the order in Kiddushin is Torah and then chuppah, right? First you learn Torah. The father's obligation teaches kid Torah, and then later it says he has to marry him off. As far as Masim Tovim, Beis Din isn't going to punish until he's 20. If he's not engaged in Masim Tovim. And Chuppah is supposed to be before the age of 20. So therefore, it's Torah, Chuppah, Masim Tovim. That's the...
Shamala, Shamata? 20.
Beis Din Shamata doesn't give Onshim until 20. The Chiddush is also Beis Din Shamala, but Beis Din Shamata doesn't give Onshim until 20. Yeah. Unless you're a Ben Sarah Mora, name. All bets are off. So
Miyut Gimel.
Yeah. He means that's when he's chayav for onshim, meaning his actions can generate liability from the age of
20. It's deferred till 20?
Yes.
Snapshot that he's not chayav, but it's just simply deferred.
Yeah.
Because?
I don't remember the source for it anymore. I have to look into it. I don't remember anymore.
I know that age 20 is, we say that Beis Din Shamala doesn't interfere.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But and I have to look it up. I don't remember it offhand. But that's the idea. Good.
That's you.
Next.